Welcome to the Bayside Church Weekly Message Audio Podcast, Cheltenham.
And this morning we are going to continue our series on hope. Of course, last weekend here at Cheltenham, Pastor Sandra kicked off the series with a message titled Dwelling in Hope. And it was a fantastic message, an inspiring message. And if you weren't here last weekend, can I encourage you, jump online onto iTunes and download the podcast of last weekend. Last Sunday morning, I was fortunate enough to be down at our Frankston campus, and Pastor Rob preached a fantastic message on hope down there and things to look forward to. It was, again, a very inspiring message. So that will be on our iTunes store as well. You can download that and make sure you're feeding yourselves on that this week. Well, today, in the lead up to this Easter weekend, next weekend, the title of the message this morning is Hope Because of the Cross. Hope Because of the Cross. Now, if you would like message notes, you can get them the usual way on the YouVersion Bible app. But I will also let us know we're launching something new this weekend. And you can also get a hold of the message notes via our church website, baysidechurch.com.au, and you can click on the media tab and then follow the prompts. You can click on the Cheltenham Weekly Message, and once you've clicked on that, you can type your own notes into that and then email them to yourself. So a couple of different ways that you can get a hold of the message notes for today. Hope because of the cross. Hope, as we found out last week, the definition, a feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. And interestingly, we all put our hope into something, don't we? I love it around Christmas time of year. Pretty much every child hopes that they have been good enough throughout the year to receive some presents on Christmas morning. This time of week, on the weekend, so many people put their hope into their sporting team. And the interesting thing is, depending on how well that sporting team performs, maybe your weekend might turn a little hopeless. Have we got any Carlton supporters? Sorry, is it a bit too soon? It's a bit too soon. I apologize. Maybe we put our hope into our Facebook status, or how many likes we get with our Instagram photo. And we kind of hope that through our Facebook status, we can actually gain a little bit more peer group acceptance. We hope for that. We all hope for something. I personally this morning hope that I deliver a good sermon. And I'm sure you hope for that too. And you can help me by being responsive this morning. Does that sound good? Yeah. Very good. We're off and racing already. But we all hope in something. In the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, it talks about hope being like an anchor for our soul. I love the imagery of that. Hope being like an anchor going down into our soul. It talks about this hope being firm and secure, like an anchor going down. And I want to ask us a question this morning. What type of hope do we anchor ourselves to? You see, there's different types of hope, isn't there? There's a false hope, and that's like anchoring ourselves down into a shaky foundation. The Bible talks about a true hope. Pastor Sandra, in her message last weekend, talked about a sustaining hope. Do we anchor ourselves to a sustaining hope? Sandra also mentioned another type of hope, and that is eternal hope. Are we anchored to an eternal hope? Are we anchored to a hope that is dead or alive? Dead or alive? If you've got our Bibles this morning, how about we turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3? There we go, we're hopeful people this morning. Very good. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. In both of the Apostle Peter's books, Peter 1 and 2 Peter, he talks a lot about hope. Peter was a very hopeful person, a very encouraging and inspiring person. And we're going to pick up one type of hope that Peter refers to in this passage. So here we go, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, exclamation mark. Now, I love how this scripture starts. I love the punctuation, exclamation mark. Praise be to our God, Father, Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. I've circled those. I've underlined those two words in my Bible. You might want to do the same. A living hope. This is a type of hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's some good news right there. This hope that Peter is talking to us. If we have accepted Jesus into our lives to be our Lord and our Savior, we have been given new birth into a living hope. Not into a hope that is dead, but into a living hope through what Jesus did on the cross and through his resurrection. That's good news right there. You see, Peter's talking about a hope that we can anchor ourselves to, and this hope is alive. You see, for us as Christians, hope is not dead. In fact, hope rose from the dead as Christ rose from the dead for us. You see, hope is alive because of the cross. Amen. Hope is real because of the cross. Hope is, let's get this, hope is a person. Hope is not just a philosophy, a nice ideal. Hope is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper and not harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. Hope is alive because of the cross. So important that we understand that we are living in hope that is alive. So what did Jesus actually accomplish for us on the cross? Well, in the next 6.5 hours today, we are going to, so many heads just looked up right there and like, what? It's just a joke. It's okay. It's just a joke. Now, very, very quickly, what Jesus did on the cross for us can be summed up by saying this, that Jesus brought atonement for our sins. What does atonement mean? It basically means to wash away or to forgive. Jesus has washed away and he has forgiven us of our sins. Now, in the Old Testament, you can read about this in your own time in Leviticus chapter 16. In the Jewish calendar, there was a very important day on their calendar. They called it the Day of Atonement. And on this day, the high priest of Israel at the time would perform a very special ceremony to atone for the sins of Israel for that previous year. And this ceremony would normally take the whole day. It took a long time to complete this ceremony, but I would like to perform this ceremony this morning, and rather than taking a whole day, we're going to take about 3 or 4 minutes. But the reason why we're doing this is because then I want to show you how it mirrors exactly what Jesus did on the cross for us. So we can actually apply this to us in this day and age. Is that okay? So I'm not trying to minimize the symbolic significance of this ceremony in the Old Testament by just doing it in a couple of minutes. But I just want to outwork it just so that we can all see it practically, what occurred in the Old Testament and now how Jesus has fulfilled it on the cross for you and I. Does that sound good? Okay, so in order to do this, we need a high priest this morning. Forbo, how about you come up and be our high priest? Yeah. Let's give it up for High Priest Forbo. He's very good. Yeah, you just said he's got the beard and all, so he's looking very, very priestly here today. So I'm going to very quickly outline exactly what High Priest Forbo has to do to complete this ceremony today. Are you ready? Do you choose to accept this mission? Fantastic. Here we go. So the first, sorry?
Self-destruct.
He will not self-destruct. That's a good start. Okay, High Priest Forbo, the first thing you have to do is to wash yourself, cleanse your body, and then clothe yourself with the holy linen garment. So please clothe yourself right now. There goes, washing is good. This is PG rated this morning, it's okay. Now, come on, everybody. This is a good-looking high priest right here. Really brings out your eyes, Forbo. Okay, so he's clothed himself in his holy linen garments. Now, the next thing that high priest Forbo has to do for this ceremony is that he has to, first of all, atone for his own sin. So he has to take a bull and sacrifice it as an offering for his own sins and also for the sins of his household. So we're just going to sacrifice this bull right now. We've got to sacrifice it first. We've got to kill it. That's right. There we go. No bull. Okay, the bull's well and truly dead. Are you glad that we're not doing it with real animals this morning? Amen, amen. Okay, the next thing, now the bull has been sacrificed as an offering, High Priest Forbo has to take some blood of that bull and he has to walk through the temple of God into the most holy of holies, the most holy place of the temple. And of course, over there, as that chest is just teetering on the edge of the chair there, that is actually representing the Ark of the Covenant for us this morning, or the mercy seat. And it represents God's power and his presence. And it can literally mean the atonement place. So High Priest Forbo, what you have to do is take some of the blood of the bull and go through the temple to the most holy place and sprinkle some of the bull's blood onto the mercy seat. Well done. That's good sprinkling. Seven times, to be correct, we have to sprinkle. And once he's done that, then he comes back out outside the temple once again. Very good. How are we going? We good? Okay, the next thing that High Priest Forbo has to do is he also has to make another sacrifice now. Now, previously, High Priest Forbo has picked two unblemished goats. Now, with the first goat, he's also going to sacrifice this goat, and this is as a sin offering for all of Israel for the previous year. So we're going to sacrifice a goat right now. Well done, Forbo. Okay, so we've just sacrificed another goat. Then he repeats the process. So he goes back through to the Holy of Holies and he sprinkles some of the goat's blood on the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat. Excellent. Well done, Forbo. Then he comes back out once more. We are flying through this ceremony. You are fit. You're doing well. Okay, now we've got one more goat left alive. Now, we don't have to sacrifice this one. You'll be pleased to know. But what we have to do with this goat right now is basically this goat, the high priest Forbo, what he has to do is lay his hands on the head of the goat and he verbalizes every sin that Israel has committed for that previous year. So that's what our high priest is doing right now. He's laying his hands on the head of this goat and verbalizing the sin of Israel for that year. And then what we're going to do, see what that represents is basically the transferring of guilt from the people onto this goat. Have we heard of the terminology a scapegoat? Okay, so we're transferring the guilt onto this goat. Now we don't, I'm just stalling here because I can see what Forbo's doing. We don't kill this goat, but what we do is we have to banish this goat into the wilderness. So we're going to banish this goat right now out into the wilderness. Hey! There goes the goat. Well done, High Priest Forbo. Let's give it up for High Priest Forbo. Well done. Very good, very good. Now, let's just summarize briefly what we have done. As I say, it should take a whole day. We've done it in about 4 minutes. The first thing that High Priest Forbo has done for us today is with the blood of the animals, he has cleansed God's house from essentially the moral pollution of Israel's sin. So that's the first thing. He has cleansed the house of God. The second thing, through the banishment of this goat, Israel have physically witnessed their sins being taken far away from them. Their sins have been removed from them. So we've got the forgiveness of sins and also their sins being taken away or washed away. Are we all on the same page? We're good. Okay, so that's the Old Testament ceremony. Now we fast forward into present day, into the New Testament, and we look at what Jesus did for us on the cross. Because as I say, it's like a mirror to this ceremony. You see, when Jesus went to the cross, he carried our sins in his body. And then what he did for us was he removed our sins forever, like that living goat. He removed them for us forever. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, It says, Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that is the cross, so that we might die to sins and live to righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. So our sins have been taken from us. Secondly, when Jesus rose from the dead and ascended to heaven, he essentially carried his own blood, and spiritually speaking, he sprinkled his own blood on the mercy seat and cleansed the heavenly sanctuary. That was like the dead goat that we witnessed over here. Let me put that into context for you in Hebrews 9 and verses 24 to 26. It says, for Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary, what was only a copy of the true one. No, he entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Remember, it's goat's blood or bull's blood. Then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But now he has appeared once for all. Yeah. I love that. Christ has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's good news right there. So just to summarize once again, you see, Jesus for us has taken our sins away. The Bible talks about as far as the east is from the west, meaning forever. Jesus has taken our sins away from us forever, and he has also cleansed not just the earthly sanctuary, but the heavenly sanctuary with his own blood. What does that allow us to do? It allows us to come into his presence boldly, with confidence. And we are called to still bring offerings, but this time, instead of bringing offerings of blood into the presence of God, we are called to bring offerings of thanksgiving, offerings of praise in his presence. Psalm 100 says, we enter his gates with thanksgiving and we enter his courts with praise. Hallelujah. Do we get this? This is good news right here, that Jesus has made a way for us once and for all so that we may come freely, we may come boldly and confidently into the presence of God with offerings of thanksgiving and praise. God is worthy of all the honor and all our praise. We as Christians have been born again into a living hope, anchored on a firm foundation, anchored to a firm foundation because of what Jesus has accomplished for us on the cross. Amen. I'd like to just quickly run through now seven reasons why we have hope in the cross. I'm going to move fairly quickly through these. So rather than trying to catch up in your Bible and turn to all these scriptures, I'll get you to just jot them down, jot the scriptural reference down, and I encourage you throughout the week, maybe spend some time meditating on these scriptures in your own time. So here we go. Seven reasons why we have hope in the cross. So number one, we have hope in the cross because Jesus justifies us. Jesus justifies us. In Romans chapter 5, verses 5 and 8 and 9, it says, hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? I love that. Since we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath? That's good news right there. Number one, Jesus has justified us. Number two, we have hope in the cross because Jesus redeems us. Jesus redeems us. Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 7 and 8 says, in him we have redemption. How? Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. I said this last night, and I'm going to say it again, that word lavish, I love that word. It just sounds so lavish. Don't you agree? Lavish. It's just got such a nice tone about it. Lavish. That's what God has done for us. He has lavished his grace upon us. He has lavished his love upon us. We have hope in the cross because Jesus redeems us. He redeems us. Number three, we have hope in the cross because Jesus sanctifies us. He sanctifies us. What does that mean? It basically means that Jesus sets us apart, or he makes us holy. Jesus sanctifies us. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 10 to 12, it says, "The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering." We witnessed this. "But the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate," that's where the cross was, "to make the people holy through his own blood." Jesus sanctifies us. Number four, we have hope in the cross because Jesus frees us from our sins. Frees us from our sins. Revelation 1 and verse 5 says, "To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood." There is freedom in the house this morning. There is freedom right here, right now, for anyone who wants to take part in that, because our sins have been removed. We are free of our sins. In just a little while, we're going to sing a few songs of worship, and one of the songs is "Freedom Reigns." Freedom reigns in this place. That's a declaration of this sacrifice that Jesus has made for us so that we can live our lives totally free in a living hope. Freedom reigns in Bayside Church. Amen. Number five, we doing all right? Number five, we have hope in the cross because Jesus brings us closer to God. Jesus brings us closer to God. You know, God the Father is all about relationship. He wants relationship with us, his kids, sons and daughters of the Most High God. And how do we get that relationship? Well, it's through Jesus. It's through the sacrifice. It's through what Jesus has done for us on the cross that we can have this amazing, intimate relationship with a God who loves us. We have hope in the cross because Jesus brings us closer to our God. Ephesians 2 and verse 13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ." Amen. Number six, we have hope in the cross because Jesus cleanses our conscience. That's a powerful one right there. Jesus cleanses our conscience. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 13 and 14 says, "The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God?" See, no longer do we have to feel like we're oppressed by a guilty conscience. Our conscience has been cleansed by what Jesus has done on the cross. No longer does God want us to walk around with this sense of shame or this sense of guilt, maybe from what we've done in our past, in our life, before we met Jesus. It is gone. Jesus went to the cross to cleanse your conscience. We are free. We don't have to live under a sense of guilt and condemnation. It's incredible. And the seventh one, this is my favorite. I've saved this one till last. And I might as well get the worship team, if you guys can come up now, that'd be fantastic. So the final one, number seven, We have hope in the cross because Jesus inspires our confidence to approach God. I mentioned this before. He inspires our confidence to approach God. We can come into the presence of God with confidence, with boldness. Let's read out of Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 19 to 23. It says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience." There it is again. "And having our bodies washed with pure water." That's so beautiful. Our bodies washed with pure water. "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." We have hope in the cross because Jesus inspires our confidence to approach God. And in just a few moments' time, as I say, we're going to enter into a beautiful time of worship. Can I encourage us to enter confidently, to enter boldly into the presence of God with an offering of thanksgiving, an offering of praise, because he is worthy. He is worthy. So to summarize, hope is alive. We have been given new birth into a living hope. We have an anchor for our soul that goes down. It is firm. It is secure. Why? Because of what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. That is good news right there. Right there. Amen. How about we just close our eyes and bow our heads for a moment? We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that we can enter your presence with such boldness and confidence. We thank you for it. We thank you for this living hope that you have given to us. Amazing gift. That we don't have to live life in a state of hopelessness, but we have anchored in us this living hope, and it comes from heaven because of what Jesus has accomplished for us on the cross. And right now, before we go any further in the service, I'd just like to give an opportunity, an invitation to anyone who maybe is in a state of hopelessness. And if you, to be honest with yourself, you actually don't have a relationship with God the Father, that Jesus is not your Lord and your Savior. But in hearing this message this morning, you want this hope. You want hope to become alive in you. I'd love to pray for you, lead you through a prayer to invite Jesus to come into your life right now. So if that is you this morning, you would like to respond and say, "Yep, Jesus, come into my life. I want this living hope that we are talking about." Would you just raise your hand right now with no one looking around? Just raise it right now and you can put it straight back down again. Thank you, sir. I see that hand. We've got one gentleman here this morning that's raised his hand. Anyone like to join him? Thank you, sir. I see that hand as well. Two men here this morning giving their life afresh to Jesus, about to be born into this living hope. Anyone else at all like to join these two gentlemen this morning? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Fantastic. Well, how about we all stand together, church? And for those two men who did raise your hands this morning, how about you stand with us as well? And I'm going to lead us through a prayer. And I just encourage you to pray this out loud. We're all going to join with you today. And this is the best prayer that you will ever pray, because this is the prayer that you're going to start this amazing journey. You're going to start this relationship with God the Father. How about we all close our eyes and repeat after me? God, I thank you for Jesus. I believe that on the cross, He died for my sins and rose again to give me living hope. Please come into my life, renew me, refresh me, make me whole, fill me with your Holy Spirit, and let me live for you. I thank you for giving me living hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's praise God right now. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. More brothers coming into the kingdom today. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this weekly message audio podcast. If you'd like to listen to more messages and find out more information, check out our website at www.baysidechurch.com.au. Church has changed. Check it out.